Hi, everybody, and welcome to another iWorks. What are we talking about today, Kelly?
Well, today we have a very exciting topic, I think. It was something that I know that at least Ian and I feel very passionate about, and I'm sure you'll agree. Recently, on the Kennel Club website, there was an article that has been going around by Robert Aline, I believe. He's a board member of the Kennel Club accreditation scheme for instructors. And the premise of this article is that puppy classes are doing more harm than good to puppies. And clearly, as puppy class advocates, and in Ian's case, creators, I think that we need to address that because, to me, it really was a bit sensationalistic and throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, certainly there are concerns in the puppy class, and they have to be done well and thoughtfully with, you know, certain goals in mind, but you can say that about any kind of training or any kind of, you know, practice at all, really. You know, anything can be done poorly or well, and just because somebody doesn't perhaps do it well or understand the reasons to do a puppy class doesn't mean that they are inherently bad.
Yeah.
That's how I
see it. Yeah, I found it very sensational, the way it was written. There are people that like to write, like, we're going to become famous by knocking down other people. You know, it's like, knock them off the pedestal and we take their fame. It's like eating warriors, eating the heart of, you know, their victim. And I find
not being sensational editing.
No, not at all. But I find it very, very disturbing that this is.
It's irresponsible to.
It is.
To make
this
such
is
a blanket
the Kennel
statement.
Club, or the English Kennel Club, as the Irish Kennel Club likes to call it.
And the accreditation scheme for instructors, no less.
Yeah.
So this is going out to potential instructors.
And I guess my take on the article was he raised some very good questions. The sort of questions I would expect from a novice, a student, who wants to find out how you teach puppy classes, and he obviously has no idea. For example, we're filming in James's house today in Oakland, California, so the sirens will be going by every few seconds. So for example, he says that puppy classes create bullies and fearful dogs. No, we have bullies and fearful dogs in puppy class, and that's part of the point of it. A puppy class is what I call a small pond, same age socialization group, which is good and bad. It means you'll get levels of energy like nowhere else. This is not how you socialize a dog, it's how you look at the dog's developing temperament and behavior under a microscope. It will create a bully because
of
the
small... Say that again.
It doesn't create a bully. It enables you to detect developing bullies or developing fearful dogs by having the small pond. You have 12 puppies. You will have the most over-the-top player. We call him a bully if he goes a little too far. And you will have the most fearful dog. But this is not true socialization. True socialization, which they should be doing at home before puppy class and what they continue to do after puppy class in parks and on walks, is multiple age, all breed, all sizes. That's true socialization. So what the puppy class enables you to do is to get together, say, 12 puppies and say, oh, look, this one's a bully, and deal with it before it becomes a real problem, because the puppy's only 3.5 months old. We solve it in about 10 to 20 minutes. Well, obviously, he's going to classes where that's not happening.
Yeah.
That we're seeing a bully and the trainer doesn't know how to deal with it, so they say, well, let's give him a time out for 10 minutes, which is just dead training time.
This may be a two-parter. There's a lot to cover in the article and just, you know, in the idea of doing a good puppy class. You know, so yes, the idea of socialization is very important, and what I have seen in this article, and not only in this article, is in other people that are kind of poo-pooing the idea of puppy class, and even, frankly, socialization in some cases, is that they think that it's flooding the puppies, I think, is what's happening. They think you can overdo socializing your dog, and that can create a problem where perhaps there wasn't one.
And why do they say it creates a problem? Because it's it's frightening for the puppies, or...
You can overwhelm them. And, you know, and I can't say that that's not entirely true. So if you're a puppy and you've been at a, let's say, a child's birthday party for 4 hours, you know, depending on your personality, you might just fall asleep and find a place to crawl, you know, and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You might get riled up and get overstimulated, or you might start, you know, trying to, you know, avoid the chaos of a party, for instance. So I think that's kind of what, that's just one example of how I think people think that they're doing. It's possible to do too much, or the person who thinks, okay, I need my puppy to meet 100 people today, in these, you know, 12 weeks, and do it on one Sunday.
I mean, Dune did it on one Sunday.
Yeah.
He met nearly 200 people.
What are you talking
about? We picked him up at our conference,
yeah.
And everyone had to hug him and handle him, and then we flew him, he's in the red carpet club on the plane. So he actually did meet almost 200 people in one day. But I think here, this notion, the whole point about flooding is, the younger the animal, the easier it is to flood. Okay, number one.
What do you mean, easier it is to flood?
It doesn't have the diabolical effect. If you had a 5-month-old German Shepherd that was shy
so
of children,
less effect,
it'd be less...
Yeah,
well, on this topic, I'd like to refer everyone to Video Ivos Episode 3, which we was socializing.
Video Ivos Episode 3, wow, okay.
So one of the first Video Ivos we did, which was all about whether or not you can traumatize a puppy with too much socialization, or whether, you know, puppies will just, you know, after so too much socialization, they just, I believe the consensus we came to was
they
just fall asleep. And I think we've been, we were socializing a puppy the other day, and eventually it just fell asleep, and you could, you know, flop its ears around, lift up its paws.
He was
conked out. There was nothing you were going to do to wake him up.
And like I just did a 3-day workshop in Sydney for adult dogs, and a couple of the vendors had puppies, so I said, bring them in. These little puppies, man, they were up and running for the whole 3 days. I would say they passed out 3 times a day, and slept, and then they woke up, they're ready to go again.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is about this, if we don't socialize puppies, and you have a puppy that is going to be in any way freaked out by early socialization, what's he going to be like when he's 5 months old?
This
is the very puppy that we need to work with. And they say, oh, it's unpleasant for him, it's frightening for him. This article, The Past the Puppy, is frightening. You know, the whole thing is, yes, there are some things that can be a little bit scary when you come to puppy class the first 10 minutes, you know, especially if you have a dog at home. So you become over-dependent on this dog, but now your bodyguard isn't there. But they get over it very, very quickly. And socialization certainly has its ups and downs. You know, we try and make it as fun as possible. But the point is, life has its ups and downs. And it's like saying, oh, no, life is bad for puppies. It could frighten them. Now, what we're doing here is to try to give puppies the tools so they can cope with the weirdness out there when sirens go off and motorcycles backfire and children come running up to grab them and adult men tease them. And that's
otherwise,
what it's all about.
Otherwise, if you protect your puppy from... I mean, not that we're advocating for rough experiences in a puppy class or even in field trip-type socialization situations, because you don't actively want to practice that, per se. But if you don't... If you keep your puppy in this protective bubble, what you, I think, can end up with is just this thin veneer of pseudo-socialization or pseudo-confidence, you know, and which will crack very easily. If a puppy has never been handled and settled or had its little paws squeezed gently, you know, while you pretend to clip toenails, or never had its ears checked or its mouth checked, or never been passed to a man with a beard, you know, if they haven't experienced that, and preferably in a pleasant way, you know, in a controlled environment, it certainly will freak them out, you know, some of them out when they see that for the first time. So people think that by protecting them, they're actually building their confidence, when actually there is no confidence.
Yeah, they're setting them up for failure. And the bad thing here, this is where normal behavioral development dupes people, that puppies should appear to be Mr. Sociable when they're 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. But then it changes. People forget that it's normal development for fears to develop at 5.5, 6, 7, 8 months. Mm-hmm. And so they don't see the urgency, and if we haven't socialized, they're sailing along. It's like the guy who jumps off the Empire State Building, and every floor he drops, he says, so far, so good. But then at 8 months, bam, the dog is now suddenly really, really, really scared. But you've missed the critical period of socialization. We can't solve it quickly now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that's where it is so important to get moving and to do this stuff when it's easy to do.
They're very malleable. And the younger you start, the better. A, you can flush things out earlier. You can tease things out earlier. Mm-hmm. And then you have more time to fix them. Puppy class, I think people don't realize, is kind of the last-ditch effort to normalize behavior before it comes rehab. You know, this is, people instead are, because so many trainers are obviously dealing with behavior problems and temperament and training problems, that their perspective is skewed. So they see a little problem and they think, oh, we've got to, they go almost into adult mode, how you would manage that, versus realizing, no, this is still puppyhood. They're malleable, and this is your last chance to really go, kind of whole hog again. And normalize the behavior before that window really does close, and you do get a new, adult behavior case.
Mm-hmm. I think, when I read articles like this, my question is always, it's like reading a study on drugs, how brilliant the drug is and how hopeless training was for solving the behavior problem. It's like I always ask the question, well, what training did you do? I'm sure you didn't do what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read this article, I think, well, what puppy classes did you look at? Because I'm sure they're not doing... say what we're trying to do or what we practice and teach.
Right, exactly. In this article, he talks about two examples of going to puppy classes that he didn't think were very useful, and it sounded like both of them weren't really puppy classes so much as puppies playing together without any training or supervision.
Yeah.
Just putting them all together in a room.
Yeah.
Where he says, I think it'd be better if there was, breaks where they, train, where the owners train with the puppies. And obviously,
which is
fresh.
Actually the other way around. We are having a class where owners are dealing with their puppies,
right.
And there's short play interludes, and it's not about puppy socialization. That's the other thing. People do get confused. It's great that the puppies get some chance to play, both as a distraction and a reward, and a little bit of mouthing practice, but the socialization that we're talking about is generally to the greater world and people, more so than with other dogs.
Yeah, I'm actually changing my mind as we do this and beginning to agree with him more. I think what has happened in the last 15 years is that we were often running with puppy classes now, and certainly from the survey that our Japanese student did, people are not doing in puppy classes what should be done. We don't have all breeds, all sizes in a lot of classes. In a lot of classes, they aren't off-leash, whereas it should be off-leash all the time, and you integrate training and human interaction within the play session every 15 seconds to a minute. And the puppy class is used to intentionally put the puppy in a situation, like small pond, same age group, so we can detect incipient signs that the puppy's going off track. Like, for example, just because of the energy level, the owners can't calm them down now. Well, we're better to teach owners to calm down a crazy puppy than when he's crazy. If they aren't off leash, how do we know the owner can't catch the puppy? Or when they reach for it, he ducks his head. There's the sign the puppy's probably going to bite when he's 8 months old. So I look on a puppy class as it's to for the trainer to look at the development and say, we have a problem here, we have a bully, I've identified it, let's solve it now. And you don't let it develop. But this is not what's happening. I think the results of the survey from our Japanese student was that, 50 to 75% of the time, the puppies are on leash, sitting on chairs, while the trainers lecture
to the
class.
And that was even in our own classes, which is we've changed, since we got
the feedback.
Dramatically
now. Oh, yes.
Because it drifted. And back when you started puppy class, it wasn't like that. Well, that's something else that is said in the article. He says, why is it when there has never been more emphasis placed on the importance of socialization that dogs are becoming increasingly aggressive, seemingly to almost everything? First of all, that's an opinion that we don't really have any numbers on that. And he says, I believe the cause of this is down to several factors, and one of these is puppy parties and puppy socialization classes. Well, that's a value statement, but
hard to believe, and I'm sorry.
Well, even if it's true, going along with what you were just saying, if puppy classes truly have gotten that far off track, you know, I mean, puppy classes have now been running for 31 years, at least here in Berkeley and the Bay Area. Maybe, you know, that's a long time, so maybe the first 15 or 20 years, the puppies were coming out really great, and now it's drifted, mm-hmm. and people are not, you know, are separating other puppies and are doing too much play and have changed the whole focus, and maybe in those cases, a bad puppy class can create a social loon. It can probably create...
Well, it is intended to, so then the owners can learn how to control it. So as soon as you have the same age group, the puppies will be crazy, and this is to revamp them, because a good 50% of owners have heard, never let the puppy mouth you because he's trying to dominate you and all this stuff, you know, they must develop bite inhibition. So, we want the puppies to be active, so we can teach the owners how to train the puppies when they're active. But I think what this gentleman hasn't seen is the identify and correct type of puppy class. Like,
yeah, he hadn't seen a good puppy class, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem in and of itself, though.
Yes, I know. Well, yeah. It should come out here. I mean, he's obviously in England. And when you see a good puppy class, it is so, you needn't do a study on it and ask, well, our puppy class is good, because you see, week one, there's a fearful dog, he won't come out to play. At the end of week one, he's playing. Mm-hmm. You've identified the problem, you've corrected it. Week one, you've got a little Amstaff running around and splatting all the dogs, mm-hmm. and it's corrected within a few minutes. And now he learns to tone it down mm-hmm. when playing with little dogs.
That's the key, is that there's some intervention where the trainer and or the owner does some training, and fixes a potential problem.
And then you can see the change right away.
You've got it.
Right?
Once you see the behavior change, there's the proof.
I mean, it's like if this guy had walked into a bad, kindergarten classroom where there were no rules and kids were just running around, hitting each other, and some were cowering under, desks, and he was like, well, school's no good. School is clearly the cause for, aggression problems, because look at this class. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I was trying to find this.
I thought you were ordering pizza or something.
No. One of our colleagues in Michigan just wrote a lovely Facebook status about how in puppy class they have resolved handling and resource guarding issues in a young puppy mm-hmm. within a few weeks, and how she just loved her job and how that's how it's supposed to work. And
we're not seeing now, that we identify the problem and we solve it quickly. I think we're causing the problem, identifying it, and not resolving it.
There's mm-hmm. a lot more in this article and a lot more to talk about in puppy classes. I know we have a couple different episodes. We're going to have several puppy episodes in a row. We should probably...
Well, at this point, we are in audio mode because we've exceeded our 15-minute video limit, so we can just keep going and this can be in audio.
It should still be, I think, done in episodes for people's mm-hmm. palatability.
Yeah, we should keep it short and sweet. Yeah.
Sounds good.
So well, we're going to... part one for me. Of...
puppy development, puppy classes.
All right, we're still working on the title.
We'll have it done before we put it up.
Well, thanks for watching or listening. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.